ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Canto 3, Chapter 27, Text 7.
Sarvabhuta samadvena Nirvain Nirvarena prasangataha Brahmacharyena monena Saddharmena bhaviyasa Sarvabhuta samadvena Nirvairena prasangataha Brahmacharyena maunena Svadharmena bhaviyasa Sarva
All
Bhuta
Living entities
Samatvena
By seeing equally.
Nirvairena,
without enmity.
Aprasangataha,
without intimate connections.
Brahmacharyena,
by celibacy.
Maunena,
by silence.
Svadharmena,
by one's occupation.
Valiyasa,
by offering the result. Text 7, translation. In executing devotional service, one has to see every living entity equally, without enmity towards anyone, yet without intimate connections with anyone. One has to observe celibacy, be grave, and execute his eternal activities, offering the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who seriously engages in devotional service is equal to all living entities. There are various species of living entities, but a devotee does not see the outward covering. He sees the inner soul inhabiting the body. Because each and every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not see any difference. That is the vision of a learned devotee. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, a devotee or a learned sage does not see any difference between a learned Brahmin, a dog, an elephant, or a cow, because he knows that the body is the outer covering only, and the soul is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. A devotee has no enmity towards any living entity, but that does not mean that he mixes with everyone. That is prohibited. Aprasangataha means, quote, not to be in intimate touch with everyone, unquote. A devotee is concerned with his execution of devotional service, and he should therefore mix with devotees only in order to advance his objective. He has no business mixing with others, for although he does not see anyone as his enemy, his dealings are only with persons who engage in devotional service. Paragraph. A devotee should observe the vow of celibacy. Celibacy does not necessitate that one be absolutely free from sex life. Satisfaction with one's wife is permitted also under the vow of celibacy. The best policy is to avoid sex life altogether. That is preferable. Otherwise, a devotee can get married under religious principles and live peacefully with the wife. paragraph. A devotee should not speak needlessly. A serious devotee has no time to speak of nonsense. He is always busy with in Krishna consciousness. Whatever he speaks about Krishna. Mona, in the verse, monina. Mona means silence. Silence does not mean that one should not speak at all, but that he should not speak of nonsense. He should be very enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. Another important item described here is svadharmena, or being exclusively occupied in one's eternal occupation, which is to act as the eternal servitor of the Lord, or to act in Krishna consciousness. The next word, bhavyasa, means, quote, offering the results of all activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unquote. A devotee who does not act on his personal account, a devotee does not act on his personal account for sense gratification. What does that mean? Whatever he earns, whatever he eats, and whatever he does, he offers for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the end of the purport. Svabhuta samatvena, sarvabhuta samatvena, nirvairena prasangataha, brahmacharyena, monena svadharmena balisa. In executing devotional service, one has to see every living entity equally, without enmity towards anyone, yet without intimate connections with anyone. One has to observe celibacy, be grave, and execute his eternal activities, offering results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The title of the chapter is Understanding Material Nature. And here we're finding description of devotional service. So what's the connection between understanding material nature and the details of how to render devotional service? At the beginning of the chapter, well, the previous chapter's fundamental principles of material nature, and this chapter begins explaining, thus, because of these principles of material nature and the living entity identifying with material nature, living entity is implicated. But why even explain all about material nature? It's to allow the living entity to become extricated from that implication in matter. And so, Kapila Deva is describing to Devahuti the process of extrication. The process of extrication is devotional service. Yesterday evening we read at this home program the prayers of the demigods of Lord Krishna when Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. And one of those prayers, the demigods state that it's because of you and your presence and consciousness of you that allows the living entity to become freed from this conception of bodily identification and understand the soul's true identity. That's a very important message in general, and in particular in connection with what's being described here. Oh, the frame of reference, once again, is material nature is there, living entity, not part of material nature, but identifying with material nature becomes implicated. Here's the extrication process. It's turning the attention instead to the personality of Godhead. By the one stroke of turning the attention to the personality of Godhead, all unwanted things are eliminated and the wanted things are achieved. Manmanau, Bhagavad Bhagato, Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. So, Kapila Dev is detailing how to do that devotional service. What are things that one can do that will assist devotional service? Or what is pure devotional service? What is that? Because devotional service is pure. Devotional service is like air, is pure. But, you know, go to any city and it's not pure because there's contamination within it. But the air itself, there's something that's being carried in the air that's contaminating the air, but the air is pure. It's like the soul is pure. And consciousness is pure, but consciousness mixes by false identification. So consciousness can become contaminated. But consciousness in its natural state is pure. So how do we get that pure consciousness? By fixing consciousness upon the Supreme Pure. It's a very simple principle. And then there are qualities as we're going on that path, the cultivation of pure consciousness. There are things that we can be attentive to help assure that that is achieved. So, or you can see it the other way. So aside from cultivating something, this is the state of pure consciousness. So, or once again, we can cultivate these features of pure consciousness. And so, the way that Prabhupada has translated the word for word is by the word ending, brahmacharyena, monena, swadharmena, valiyasa. There's by this, by this, by this, by this, by this. They're all modifying or describing devotional service, the means of extrication of the soul being implicated in material nature. So it's devotional service, qualifiers of devotional service. So the first of the qualifiers, the way Prabhupada has presented the purport, is sarva bhuta samatvena. Tvena is that ending indicates having the quality of sama tvena, having the quality of sama. What is sama? It's equal disposition, equal regard. Neither this nor that. Neither attraction nor repulsion. Neither friend nor enemy. Neither I like, I don't like. I'm attracted, I'm repulsed. Neither. So the state of neutrality. This is again and again discussed in Bhagavad Gita. The position of being equal poised, equally disposed towards the features of duality, like Chicago. It's cold in the winter, and at least recently it's been getting hot in summer. So when it's cold in the winter, we want to turn the heat on. When it's hot in the summer, we want to turn the cool on. So whether we turn the heat on or turn the cold on or fan on or something, the disposition on the platform of the soul is to see with equalness, neither finding happiness with this or unhappiness with that. And how is that possible? It's not just by being a stoic, by being a strong tyagi, but by placing one's... That's how some people try, but the message of devotional service is to bring your consciousness to the platform of Krishna and with the platform of Krishna, the platform of the soul. So when there's the platform of the soul, there's no enmity towards any soul. The teaching is there. We may not like a behavior. The Christian saying is, you may hate the sin, but not the sinner. So if there's a bad behavior, we don't have to be equal towards bad behavior. Oh, that's fine, and that's fine. I'm okay, you're okay. We can recognize distinctions of behavior. But as far as the living entity is concerned, on the transcendental position of devotional service, the living entity should be seen equally. And when there's equanimity or samatvena, sarva-bhuta samatvena, then there's no enmity towards anyone. You don't hold ill feelings towards anyone. And on the other hand, aprasangata is how he's translated, Prabhupada is translated in the verse, well, and the word for word is without intimate connections. But it doesn't mean if you have friends in Krishna consciousness, you get an F. You're supposed to not have any friends in Krishna consciousness. That's not for the meaning of aprasangata. It means that one should not be in intimate touch, quote, with everyone. We want Krishna. And therefore those that are intimately connected with Krishna, we want relationships with those intimately connected with Krishna. But we don't share the same intimacy of relation with everyone. The suras, yes, and the asuras, no. But that doesn't mean that's my friend and there's my enemy. The intimacy, janasanga, in the words and the teachings of Rupa Goswami, we don't intimately associate with worldly people. We're polite and cordial and respectful and friendly towards worldly people. But that we don't disclose in confidence our, you know, whatever's going on in our personal practices of devotional service. They won't have any understanding of how to process that. We exchange cordially and politely and in a friendly manner. Even if they're not friendly, we maintain at least the disposition of neutrality. Were the meaning of aprasangataha literally that there's no intimate connections with anyone, that would include Krishna, because he's part of anyone. He's the source of everyone. So we want that intimate relation with Krishna. And we want likewise an intimate relation with those that are intimate with Krishna, dear to Krishna. But it's a caution. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered the same caution when he was asked, could you describe the character of a Vaishnava? On one occasion he said that the character of a devotee is that they very carefully avoid the association of non-devotees. I forget the Bengali. What's the Bengali? Asat Sangha Chag E Vaishnava Prachar. Asat Sangha Tyag, a Vaishnava Achar. This is Achar, it's the behavior, character of a Vaishnava. That those persons that are packed up tightly with their aspirations for illusion and temporary material nature, finding happiness in illusion, asat sangatya. It's just what it makes sense. If you want to remain clean, you don't go to a filthy place. You know, jump in the pigsty with a pig. because he's a living entity too. I'm equal to all living entities. Here I go. Things die, ho. No. But we regard the soul of the pig as part and parcel of Krishna, who is the Supreme Pure. But that behavior, strongly influenced by tamaguna, is something that we don't intimately associate with. Prabhupada writes, a devotee is concerned with his execution of devotional service, and he should therefore mix with devotees only in order to advance his objective. And the opposite, he has no business mixing with others. For although he does not see anyone as his enemy, his dealings are with persons who engage in devotional service. A little common sense always helps in devotional service. So then he just goes through the rest of these. We have the sarva bhuta samatvena, and then the nirmairena aprasangataha, then brahmacharjena. So observing celibacy. It's important to observe celibacy. And immediately, the very next sentence, Prabhupada qualifies. This does not mean that one is absolutely free from sex life, although that's best. However, in religious marriage between husband and wife, under the standards of religious principles, that also falls under the category of observing celibacy, or elsewhere Prabhupada described as grihastha brahmacharya. That is, for the purpose of propagation of God-conscious children and not otherwise. And so there's specifics about for the propagation of God-conscious children. And the rest is otherwise not. Or grihastha brahmacharya. And it must be observed. If one wants to, going back to this beginning theme of the chapter, how to extricate the soul from the condition of material existence. Well, if one wants to compromise on that principle, then it means you have compromised on the soul is not going to be extricated by the means of devotional service, or by any means. What can one say? It's just a principle. And how often is that taught? My goodness. Where is that taught in the world of religiosity? It's probably somewhere, but I don't know where. It's not, certainly not a common platform of those that want to be progressive in their religious or spiritual path. Celibacy is right in there, right at the foundation. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it because people don't want to hear about it. They'll lose followers. Who wants to lose followers? We want to have followers. We don't talk about it. But we're not interested simply in numbers. The message of the Bhagavatam is to extricate souls from the information in matter. So it has to be spoken about. And it is spoken about. Maunina. Standard explanation Prabhupada is giving here of Mauna. Maunina. Mauna can mean don't speak anything. Like when we have our japa retreats and 64 round day, it means, mona means you don't speak anything. And so, Sometimes sadhus take up this, particularly impersonalists, take up monavrata. But they have this, like, you know, whatever one would call it, alternative method. We call it alternative method, but it's cheating. They just have a chalkboard and they just write things on the chalkboard. And then erase the thing and put another one. Then the other person speaks to them, they just write it on their chalkboard. And yeah, actually, you know, they have a cord that goes around their neck and a chalkboard and on the, you know, they just, so they can't, like, we can't have a meat bag everywhere, they take the chalkboard. So they can observe mona. For us, mona means something different. Mona, unless we're on a, you know, chopper retreat or 64-round day, mona in general means don't speak prajalpa. One of my godbrother's, one of his favorite vocabulary words is nonsense. It's like a hammer. That's nonsense. But anyway, don't speak nonsense. In a short definition of nonsense is something that's outside of what will enhance devotional service, or anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam. Those things that are favorable to bhakti, that's not nonsense. And that which is, has nothing to do with devotional service, or is unfavorable to devotional service, either, that's in this nonsense or prajalpa category. There may be so many things we have to speak about in terms of worldly matters. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this in his Jana Sangha, his commentary on the Nectar of Instruction. For a householder, anticipating this question might arise, I'll answer it ahead of time. How is a householder supposed to follow this thing? You have to go to work, and have it at work. There's non-devotees, and not only there's non-devotees, there's non-devotee talk. And they're expecting me to engage in non-devotee talk, like, you know, you all don't need to go to work, you know what that talk is. Politics and sports and, you know, what are you doing tonight? And on and on and on. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation is, for a householder in the workplace, exchanging cordialities is not the prohibited janasangha, nor is it a category of prajalpa, but one should not take those things up with a mood of sense gratification. Oh, I'm actually enjoying this. I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to more. It's a service of politeness and respect to the living entity who otherwise might think, oh, look at this religious fanatic. I don't want to become like that. You become a religious person, you become a fanatic like that. So, we don't want them to distance themselves from God and God consciousness. We want them to feel happy in the company of one who is very clearly, by their principles and their conduct and their character, committed to God consciousness. At the same time, they're friendly. But not, you know, attracted to that worldliness, nor, you know, engaging intimately, exchanging confidential matters with worldly people who can't understand. By confidential, I mean spiritual topics. What's really important to the devotee is not something that is placed before worldly people. They just won't understand. The Christian phrase is, do not cast pearls before swine.
biblical. It's phrase. What's a swine going to do with pearls? Stop on it and pull it into the pig pen. There's no sense of the value of that. So, monena. Then there's two remaining. Sva, dharmena. Prabhupada writes, being exclusively occupied in one's eternal occupation. There is a more conventional sense of sva dharma is, you know, what's the duty of brahmacharya, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, or brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, you know, meaning according to one's involvement in matter, one's psychophysical nature. Commonly, svadharma is understood in those terms. What is one's own duty? Like Krishna is giving this advice to Arjuna. Better to perform your own duty, kshatriya duty, to protect, than another's duty, even if it's performed perfectly. Better to perform your own duty. That's, you know, svadharma. Your duty is a kshatriya, your duty is to protect. Get out there on the battlefield, Arjuna. Perform your duty of protection. Rather than the duty of a brahmana, oh, I don't want the problems that will come from being a kshatriya, so I'll give up being a kshatriya. I'll take another's occupation. I'll become a mendicant. That's what I'll do, I'll become a mendicant. Stop being a kshatriya. Too problematic. So svadharma is commonly in terms of one's psychophysical nature. But here, particularly because the topic is devotional service, and because it's Kapila speaking, it's pure devotional service, svadharma or svadharmena means one's eternal occupation. So regardless of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, regardless of Varnashram position, each is to engage in their eternal occupation, which is serving Krishna. So, svadharmena, being exclusively occupied in one's eternal occupation. That is, what is that? How does Varnashram become Daivi Varnashram? It's when those activities that are suited to one's nature are exclusively, because that's the term that's used, exclusively dedicated to Krishna. Exclusively dedicated to Krishna. When that's taken up, sadharmena, this is a way in which the living entity, who Kapila has described as being completely free from any material identification, can become situated like that by doing, we have a body. Prabhupada elsewhere reasons, you can't even engage, you know, yeah. You can't even engage in devotional service if you don't have a body. At least in this realm, you can engage in devotional service in your sarup, your spiritual form, in the spiritual world. But the material body is meant to be engaged in Krishna service. So the duties of life are for the purpose of our eternal occupation, serving Krishna. When that consciousness is restored, devotional service is very effective to withdraw ourselves completely from the involvement in matter. The example is given like a serpent, that the fangs are removed. So here comes the serpent, slithering, coming your way. But if you know there's no fangs in the serpent, what's he going to do? No harm.
For the senses similarly are compared to serpents. But if the fangs are removed, the poisonous effect of senses engaged in sense objects in the mood of enjoyment, if this, the mood of enjoyment is replaced with the mood of devotion, then there's no harm in the senses. So, as a child might be afraid of a snake, but if the snake can't be at all harmful, there's no problem. So, svadharmina, and then by one's occupation, by offering the result, bhaliyasa. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, this means offering the results of all activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So performing your duty, offering the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how do you offer your results, including sentence? Whatever you earn, whatever one eats, whatever one does, he offers for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the mood of devotion in devotional service is by offering for the satisfaction of Krishna, immediately there's detachment from matter, or being the enjoyer of matter. It's the mood of being the enjoyer of matter that's the problem. If matter is something meant for Krishna's enjoyment and we engage ourselves with that matter for the satisfaction of Krishna, it's liberating. Same activity binding, same activity liberating. The activity need not be changed. We don't need to not eat because the body's material and the object we put in the body is material, so we shouldn't eat. You're dead. You don't eat. So we eat. But the eating is offering everything unto Krishna and take the prasad of Krishna. And so the eating, by that eating process, with every... I'm reluctant to say, by every mouthful, so it's breakfast time, just keep eating and eating and eating, but we don't overeat. So with every mouthful, because Krishna indicates like this in Bhagavad Gita, that it's liberating for the soul. Although we're dealing with a material body and something that came out of the ground, some grain or some fruit, a vegetable, apparently something material. But when offered to Krishna, it has a liberating effect upon the soul's implication in matter. So therefore, everything should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. Bhaliyasa. In the upcoming verses, he continues to describe what pure devotional service is and the characteristics of pure devotional service. Why? So that the implication in matter, the soul which has nothing to do with matter, is spun out, bewildered by that misidentification and suffering completely needlessly. So to become relieved of that, Kapila is giving this process of devotional service to Devahuti and to us. Any comments or questions on the verse? You have something? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.